We are in Parashat Behar, and we're going to be reading from the Noam Elimelech, the first Ma'amar, and the Parasha starts, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe, where? Behar Sinai, Mount Sinai, and in order for him to give over what he wanted to say, Le'emor. Nireh Lefaresh, now we'll see a way to interpret according to what it was said in the Mishnah in Tractate Avot. The Tractate Avot starts, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe got the Torah in Sinai. Umasra liYoshua, and he gave it to Yoshua. And Yoshua lazkenim, Yoshua gave it to the elderlies, to the sages. Lazkenim lamneviim, and the elderlies gave it over to the prophets. And the prophets gave it to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The prophets gave it to the people of the Supreme Sanhedrin. That's how the Masechet Avot starts. Yesh ledakdek, we have to be very particular with the words. Shemitchila, in the beginning, k'tiv u'masra liYoshua. In the beginning it says, Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah from Sinai, from Hashem of course, but in Mount Sinai, and he gave it over to Yoshua. Yoshua was his servant. We're definitely not talking about Yashka. Some people hear the word Yoshua, and right away they start twitching. So we're not talking about that Yoshua, Chas v'Shalom. So the only reason I'm saying it is because Baruch Hashem, we have many people listening on the behind the screen. Sometimes I say the word Yoshua, ooh. People get very excited. So we're not talking about Yashka, we're talking about the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says, first it was given to Yoshua, umi Yoshua lizkenim. And Yoshua gave it to the zkenim. Lo ne'emar u'mesaruha. It doesn't say the word, and it was given over. In the Mishnah it says, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, he received the Torah in Sinai, u'mesara liYoshua. And he gave it to Yoshua. But from Yoshua to the Zkenim, it doesn't say the word Umasara or Masaruha. It wasn't said that it was given. You have to look at the words of the Mishnah. Gam Uzkenim leNeviim lo nichtav Masruha. Also from the Zkenim to the Neviim, from the elderlies to the prophets, it doesn't say the word and it was given. It just skips the word it was given. Now anything in the Torah is precise on the dot. There's no mistakes here that a word is missing, or they ran out of ink, or the line finished and they had to finish it. If a word is missing, or a word is an extra word, there's a reason for that. So we said in the beginning, the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to Yoshua, and from Yoshua lezkenim and lezkenim lanevim. Lo nichtav u'masaruha. It wasn't said u'masaruha. It wasn't said it was given. V'hadar ne'emar u'masaruha le'anshei Knesset HaGdolah. But at the end, it says that the Nevi'im, the prophets, gave it to the men of the Supreme Court of the Sanhedrin, l'anshei Knesset HaGdolah. U'mistama, it seems here, le'eze kavana katvu chachmei ha'mishna kach. Now we have to understand why the teachings of the Mishnah, that's how they wrote it. Beshinui lashon, they changed the way how they express themselves. Uma, shegam etzel Moshe lo ne'emar klal lashon mesira, ela Moshe kibel. Also by Moshe, it doesn't say that Hashem gave it over to Moshe. Rather, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu received it from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, you can read the Torah on the surface and take it as it is. But when you take a stop or you slow down and you start dissecting the words, you see, must be something between the words. V'nireh letaretz, now we have to explain that. And we have to explain that on what level? Al pi ha-gemara. Let's see what the Gemara says, what the Talmud says. Lama teratzdun harim gavnunim shenitkabtzu harim. There is a verse in the Tanakh that it says, why they put all the mountains together Why the mountains are so close together? Shenitkabtzu ha'arim lifnei Hashem itbarach. All the mountains, they gathered together in front of Hashem, and they all wanted the Torah to be given on them. You know the famous Midrash, that before the Torah was given, all the mountains came in front of Hashem, and one mountain says, I want the Torah to be given on me, because I'm the biggest mountain here in the desert. Another mountain came and said, that's correct, he's biggest, but I'm tallest. Another mountain came and says, he's right, he's tallest, I'm widest, much more place on me. And all the mountains came in front of Hashem and asked for the Torah to be given on them. Shenitkabtzu ha'arim lifnei Hashem itbarach. All the mountains got together in front of Hashem. Liten alem ha'Torah. And they all wanted the Torah to be given on them. Ve'amar lehem Hashem itbarach baruch hu. The Kadosh Baruch answered, Kulchem ba'alei mumin. You all have some type of a blemish. Atem, each and every one of you. Etzel har Sinai, milashon giben odak, and he said to the mountains, each and every one of you has some type of a blemish. One of them is too rounded, the other one is too thin or skinny. And how about har Sinai? Why did Hashem chose har Sinai? Uma ma'alato. What is the virtue of Har Sinai? Lefi shenamuch mekulam, because he was the smallest of all of them, the smallest, and it doesn't say the word small, rather namuch is somebody who's not tall. How do you say the word in English?
Short.
Short. Okay, short. But I don't know if you can say on a mountain short. So a person that is tall is a tall person. A person that is short is called a short person. But in a mountain, I don't know if you can say on a mountain short, but nevertheless, in Hebrew, the word is namuch. Namuch is small in the measure, in the height. So the Kadosh Baruch says, you know what's the virtue of Har Sinai on all of your mountains? That he's short, he's small. Nelamed she'en ha'Torah mitkayemet, ela b'mi she'manmich atzmo. To teach us that if you want the Torah to apply on you, you want the Torah to affect you, you want to be actually participating and fulfilling what the Torah says, the Torah will only work only by a person that makes himself small and humble. Very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom haya nav meod. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the leader of all leaders, the master of all masters, and our teacher, he was a very humble person. The Torah tells on him, Vayish haya anav meod. He was the most humble person that the Torah testifies on himself. There was never such a humble person. Mikol ha'adam, from any individual. Lazeh haya yachol lekabel Torah mehashem. That's why he was able to receive the Torah from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mehashem itbarach baruch hu ba'atzmo. Now he received the Torah directly from Hashem. No messenger, no filter system, no anything. He directly received the Torah from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uchsheratza, and when he wanted, Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, and he didn't get the Torah to keep it for himself. A lot of people, they have the attitude that they take the Torah, they acquire the Torah, and it's for them to keep. Moshe Rabbeinu right away wanted to teach it to Yoshua. Yoshua didn't have already that power of Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Torah in his power. And his level, Yeshua's level, wasn't in such a high level like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu actually received the Torah, learned it, and then gave it over. Yeshua just received it. Didn't have such a power to take it. That's why Moshe had to give it to him. That's why there was the word limsor, masra, to give it over. What does it mean? Mesirat nafsho agdola, umasra lo berov kedushato agdola. First of all, limsor is to give over. in Hebrew, there's many ways. Limsor is the verb. Umesara, it means that he gave him over the Torah. But nevertheless, first of all, he gave it b'mesirat nafsho. He gave mesirut nefesh in order to give over the Torah. Moshe had self-sacrifice here. And not only that, He was so holy, Moshe Rabbeinu, at such a high level, that by the fact that he was at such a high level, he was able to give over the Torah. And he gave a Mesirut Nefesh al Nafsho. Mesirut Nefesh alav. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Moshe Rabbeinu was mamash self-sacrifice to give over the Torah. Now Moshe, Yeshua received the Torah. Yeshua, כשלימדה לזקנים, לא יכול לעשות מסירות נפש גדול כמו משה רבנו. When Yeshua gave it over to the elderlies, to the sages, he didn't have the level of Moshe Rabbeinu to do such mesirut nefesh, such self-sacrifice, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Limsor lehem kol haTorah kmo Moshe. He wasn't able to give them the Torah the same way. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do mesirut nefesh and completely give over what he received. Yeshua wasn't in that level. Moshe limdo lekach, lo ne'emar, u'mesaruah, ela limed. That's why he doesn't say with Yeshua to the Zkenim that he gave it over. Rather, he taught them. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to understand the difference. He actually gave it. And Moshe Rabbeinu was acting like Hashem, that he actually gave it over. There's a much bigger difference between giving it over and teaching it. Yeshua was in that level, he had to teach it to the elderlies. Kefi kocham. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was in such a high level that he was able to give it to Yeshua, so to say, whole. Even if Yeshua wasn't in the level of receiving it, Moshe Rabbeinu went to such an extent that he actually made Yeshua worthy to receive it. Yeshua didn't have that level, so when he gave it over to the elderlies, to the sages, he gave each one according to his level. Ela limed lehem haTorah kefi kocham. Each one got it according to his level. We can sit now in a room and we can learn the same topic. One person will get it right away. Another person will need a little bit more explanations. Another person will not get it at all. One person will get it but half. Another person will not understand what I'm saying but get one thing. Each one in the room is a completely different level. Now imagine Moshe Rabbeinu was giving now the class. Then he would give you the information 100% as it is. Doesn't matter what your level is. Moshe Rabbeinu has such a power. It doesn't matter who you are, he gave you the Torah whole. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do to Yeshua. When Yeshua came to give it over, imagine Yeshua sitting in front of him, sitting a group of sages, and he was able to give each one according to his level. Kefi kocham, according to their strength. Lekabel dor achar dor. Not only that. And they had to give it over from one generation to another generation, and every generation, their power, so to say, went down. So the Torah had to be given in a little bit of a different way. Dor achar dor tashu kocham. One generation after the generation, their power went weaker and weaker. That's why ve'lo ne'amar b'hem lashon mesira. That's why it doesn't say the word that it was given over. Rather, it had to be taught. והדר אצל נביאים לכנסת הגדולה, in the same way from the prophets to the men in the Sanhedrin, in the Knesset הגדולה, נאמר לשון מסירה. But you see here that between the prophets to the אנשי כנסת הגדולה was said the word מסירה, that was given over. שכך הוא דרך הטבע, this is the nature, way of nature, שדבר היוצא בטבעו לסוף הדבר, הוא נתעלה ועולה למעלה. That something that goes out of its nature, at the end of the path, it will go higher and higher and higher. כמו הגלגל, הדבר שהוא למטה, אותו הדבר בעצמו חוזר ומתעלה. Like a wheel. Whatever is on the bottom, the second the wheel will start turning, whatever is on the bottom will start going up. So same like a wheel, כמו גלגל, הדבר שהוא למטה, אותו הדבר בעצמו חוזר ומתעלה, like a wheel, whatever is on the bottom, the wheel turns and it becomes up. לזה אצל הנביאים כבר היה להם כוח זה למסרם לאנשי כנסת הגדולה. It was like kind of like a wheel, by the time that it came to the prophets, that the prophets, so to say, made the circle, and they were already back up in the level, like Moshe Rabbeinu, so they were able again to give it over to אנשי כנסת הגדולה. בכוח מסירות נפש, in the power of self-sacrifice. נמצא, we find from that. ממילא אצל משה, מהשם יתברך, ברוך הוא, אין שייך ממנו לשון מסירה. That's why we see that in Moshe Rabbeinu, that he received it from Hashem, there wasn't even that level of giving it over. כלל, כי אם קיבלה, because Moshe Rabbeinu just got it. He wasn't had to be given over. Moshe Rabbeinu קיבל אותה, קיבל תורה מסיני, אשר קיבלו מפי הגבורה. Moshe Rabbeinu received it directly from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? מחמת שהיה ענוותן גדול, because he was reaching levels of ענווה, of humbleness, that nobody ever reached to such a level. That's why it says, Moshe קיבל תורה מסיני. That's why it says only about Moshe that he received the Torah, but the words that it's used, he קיבל, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Torah. בכוח שלימד עצמו, in the power and in the merit that he taught himself, מהר סיני. He looked at the mountain that the Torah was given on and he says, oh, now I got the point. He figured it out. But nobody else was able to figure it out. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to figure it out. And he says, all the other mountains were giants. One was huge, one was wide, one was big, one was beautiful. Same thing here. The Yoshua and Anshei Knesset HaGdola and the prophets Vezkenim, they were giants. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, I figured it out. It's not about being a giant. It's about being humble. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the same way that the mountain got the Torah on it because it was small and humble, so I'll humble myself. That's how I will actually receive the Torah firsthand from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw the power of the mountain. מהר סיני שנתן השם יתברך התורה עליו. הקדוש ברוך הוא gave the Torah on the mountain מחמת שהוא נמוך, because the mountain, הר סיני, was the smallest of all, מכל הערים. וזהו וידבר השם אל משה בהר סיני לאמור. And that's what it means when the parasha starts and Hashem has spoken to Moshe on הר סיני, on Mount Sinai, לאמור. לאמור means to give over. פירוש, meaning, החזק את עצמך במידת הר סיני. You want to receive the Torah, you have to strengthen yourself in the midah, in the attribute of Har Sinai, which is midat ha'anava. Ve'al yedei ze shetuchal lomar liYisrael et haTorah haKedoshah. And that's the only way how you will be able to give over the Holy Torah to the nation of Israel. Why? HaTorah haKedoshah begodel kedushatecha. The Torah is so great in the level of your kedusha. Basically saying in a very simple word, we all want to learn Torah. We all want to receive to the Torah. I mean, after all, we're sitting here. We're not sitting here because of anything else, unless there's something hidden that I don't know. But nevertheless, we're all here because we want to learn the Torah. Why we want to learn the Torah? Because we need to be guided. We want guide in our life. We want to be inspired. We want to receive the wisdom of the Torah so I can apply it in my life and so forth. And not only that, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to learn Torah. But nevertheless, we all want to receive the Torah. Nobody comes to the class and says, okay, you know what, I'm not going to listen to him today. I'm just going to ignore what he's saying. And after all, you won't come here. But the reason why we don't receive the Torah properly is because two problems. First of all, the problem is in the receiver. That the receiver thinks he's more than what he is. And he already figured it out before the teacher already started talking. He already figured it out. So then you're not going to receive nothing. A different problem is the giver. If the giver is not humble, the giver is here to just show off his... giver, I'm talking about the speaker, the teacher. If he's coming here to show off his knowledge and to kind of say between the words, I know better than you, and you came here to learn from me, and let me tell you what it means, and the attitude of the giver is just arrogance and ego, and that his name should be greater, you're not going to receive nothing. You're just going to receive words. So it has to be a good combination here. First of all, our ultimate teacher is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why we call him Rabbeinu. We don't call him the king. You know, many of our sages and forefathers got a title. Avraham got a title, Avinu, our father. Avraham Avinu. Yosef was such a righteous man, was able to hold his urge in front of any woman. So he was called Yosef HaTzadik. And many other got titles. Shmuel from many others. There are not many prophets that are there. Shmuel is the only one that we call him Shmuel HaNavi. I mean, we also call it Eliyahu Navi. But Shmuel is one of the only prophets that we actually refer to him as Hanavi. You know, many other Navim, we don't say Yeshayahu Navi. We say Yeshayahu, Yechezkel, Yirmiyah. You don't say Hanavi. So we see that many got a certain title. David got title Hamelech. You know how many Melech, how many kings we had? How come we don't say on other ones Hamelech? We say David Hamelech. But nevertheless, on Moshe, we call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Should have called him Moshe Goalenu, our Redeemer. Or Moshe, our king. He was a king. He was the first king. Moshe Hamelech. But we call him Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu means our teacher. Now you walk in the street with a yarmulke, everybody calls you Rabbeinu. Like as if... So all you need to do is put a yarmulke on and grow a beard and you're going to be referred to Rabbeinu too. But nevertheless, Moshe is Rabbeinu. He's our teacher. And he was the greatest. Lo kam kenavi kemoshe. There wasn't up until now, and probably will never be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. Most opinion says that even Mashiach will not be in the level of Moshe Rabbeinu in prophecy. Mashiach will be maybe smarter, greater, and so forth. But in prophecy, Moshe Rabbeinu will probably never be a competitor to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the only one that had prophecy while he was up and awake. All the other prophets had their prophecy while they were sleeping. So Moshe Rabbeinu, why do we call him Rabbeinu? He's our teacher. And he says, you want to learn the Torah? Follow me. As great as he was still humble. And the only way to receive the Torah, I mean, after all, at the end of the day, that's what we're here. We're here to receive the Torah. But in order for us to lekabel et haTorah, there's a very big difference between the... See, the words in Hebrew make more sense. In English, it's very hard to translate the word the right way. In Hebrew, you say lekabel et haTorah. To get it, I get it. And there's also the coming from the other side, limsor et haTorah, to give over the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was really the only one who kibel Torah. That's why we say, you know, in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we're celebrating Shavuot. It's Chag Matan Torah. Why don't we call it Chag Kabbalat haTorah? We should have called it the holiday of getting the Torah, Kabbalat haTorah. It's called Chag Matan Torah, the holiday of giving the Torah. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. We weren't in the level of receiving it. Most people are still not in the level of receiving the Torah. So, we say many times a day a certain verse. We say it before we pray, after we pray, depending on the nosach that you pray. But we say, Yi Ratzon Mifanecha, should be a will in front of you, Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avotenu, our Master, the King of all kings, שיבנה בית המקדש, that the בית המקדש should be rebuilt very soon, ותן חלקנו בתורתך, and give us a portion in your Torah. And we say also, ותן, give me the portion. So why? Because to acquire the Torah, that requires a lot of work. That's why now, before Matan Torah, before the holiday of Shavuot, we take 7 weeks to refine ourselves. 7 weeks of the Omer, we don't have Bet HaMikdash. The original Sfirat HaOmer was because they used to give a sacrifice on the 16th day of Nisan, and then they would have to count the days till Shavuot to give the next sacrifice, Korban HaOmer. But now we count it because we're refining ourselves. That's why Sfirah, we call it Sfirat HaOmer. Sfirah is to count. But Sfirah is also to enlighten, comes from the word Sapir, to enlighten. And every day we refine one part in me, another part in me, and so forth. Only so I can reach to a level that I will be in a level of Anava, of Midat Anava, that I can receive the Torah. If I'm not going to humble myself, I will never receive the Torah. So the message that he's giving us here, in one way, is very simple to understand. But very hard to apply. And we're all interested to know Torah, but we're more interested to receive the Torah. And that can only be done when I apply this midah, this attribute that's called midat ha'anava. Without anava, I'm not going to receive anything. The Torah is just going to come at me and bounce right out. So two things that I need to take from that is, first of all, and most important, is to find from who I'm learning Torah. Because if the Torah is coming from the wrong channel, you're not going to receive anything. You're just going to see words at you and it's not going to penetrate. So I had a certain teacher once that I started learning from him, and he in the beginning sounded very convincing. He's very, very good, very smart. Every word that came out of his mouth was like a gem. I was like, unbelievable. Genius. Unbelievable Torah. But it took me a while to figure out that he was so arrogant and such a putz that he didn't care to teach over the Torah. He just cared that he should be the one who sounds so great and he's the one who knows. And it just came from the wrong place that made me realize that after a very short while, I wasn't receiving anything from him besides hearing very nice Torah. I didn't receive nothing. If you leave the class and nothing changed in your system, so what? So you heard nice words. So there are many speakers that are very good speakers. So unfortunately, in our generation, you stumble upon some teachers that they know the Torah very, very good. And they very sharp. And almost any question you'll ask them, they'll come up with a real sharp answer. And they'll show you unbelievable knowledge. And they like sweet talkers. Sound very, very good. Sounds like a symphony to your ears. And people fall for that. And they come. So they it's almost like going to a restaurant and they're only showing you the menu. So they're showing you, we have this dish and that dish. And the chef's special. And okay, no, I'm already starving. Give me something. No, no, we're only showing you the menu in this restaurant. You don't have an option of receiving anything. You go out of here hungry. That's what most people don't understand. Sometimes they go to these certain teachers. They hear a lot of the menu, but they don't receive anything. They leave the room. Wow, wow, wow. What did you take from that? Nothing. Did you change anything? No. Did you get inspired in any type of a way that it's affected your life, that now that you're a much better person and you can say, I'm working on myself? No, I just got fancy words. So A, I have to choose very carefully from who I'm learning from. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, he did such a mesirut nefesh that he went all the way in order for Yeshua to be worthy to receive the Torah. If I want to give you over the Torah, but I don't care if you got it or not, then what kind of a teacher I am? My agenda as a teacher is to make sure that I bring you to the level that you can actually receive the Torah as it is in its home. And if I'm not doing that, then that's because I only care about me sounding very fancy. A good teacher, he says, did you understand? No, let me explain it to you in a way that you understand, but I didn't get it yet, so I'll explain it to you again. And I'll make sure that you really understand it, that you can actually act upon it. If you learn the Torah, there are three levels of learning the Torah. Also in the same Mishnah in Masechet Avot. It says you can learn for the sake of learning. Then you can learn for the sake of learning and to be able to teach. Lilmod al menat lelamed. That's a much higher level because I want to learn in order so I can teach. But then there's a higher level that says lilmod al menat lelamed velasot. To learn for the sake of learning and for the sake of teaching, but more than that, for the sake of actually doing. If you learn and you didn't apply what you learned, waste of time. There's a beautiful letter written by the Ramban, Irigeret HaRamban, and he says, every day after you learn, when you leave the Beit HaMidrash, you leave the shul, the yeshiva, look in what you learned if you can actually apply it the same day. If you didn't apply the same day in something that you learned that day, what did you learn for? To warm up the chair, to get a run away from home so your wife is not going to be driving you nuts. Why did you come to the class? So, and he says very, very clear there, when you get up from your chair and you go home and you left your studies, he says, tefashpesh, lefashpesh is to go through, that you can take one thing that you learned today to apply it. Let's see if you apply it today. If you didn't apply what you learned, that your learning is just somewhere in the air. So, A, I want to choose my teacher there very, very carefully. And unfortunately, we talked about it yesterday. Unfortunately, a lot of the people who are giving over Torah is either for just to greaten their name or just to prove to the world that they're greater than you, or there's money involved here, or power, or some type of an agenda. And you have to be careful to see if that's where it's coming from. If it's coming from the Torah, it's not going to be given to you b'msirut nefesh. That's why it says Moshe Rabbeinu masar nefesh. He went out of his way, so Yeshua is receiving it custom made exactly how it is. Second of all, once I already chose a good teacher, and I know many will ask the question, but how do I know who's a good one? How do they all look good to me? So you have to use your common sense. You have to see where is it coming from. And if the person is humble or if the person is arrogant. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you imagine sitting in a room learning Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu? Very soon Mashiach is coming. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come with him. And there's going to be an app. And it's going to be the Beit HaMikdash app. And you're going to go on the app and it's going to give you the schedule of the day. 6 a.m, Shacharit. I don't think they're going to have a problem with the minyan. Then, right after that, 7:00, Shiur Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu. 7:30, Shiur Torah with Aaron HaKohen about the Korbanot. 8:00, Shiur Torah by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the mysticism of the Torah. 8:30, Shiur Torah by the Arizal, teaching you the structure of the Sefirot. And you're gonna have one after the other. So, and it's all going to be broadcast live. If you can't make it to this class, you make it to that class, it's all going to be recorded, there's going to be a YouTube, there's not going to be any more junk, it's not going to be Shiurei Torah, and you can choose, ooh, tonight there's a shiur with the Ben Ish Chai, he's going to be teaching us the mysticism behind the Sefirot of the world of Atzilut. And so, can you imagine sitting in a class with Moshe Rabbeinu? And listen, I have some experience, I'm the one who brought it down here. But nevertheless, that's when you see Midat HaAnava. You know, there's a story that happened here in Tzfat many years ago that the Arizal had a group of students. And we mainly know about one dominating student, Rabbi Chaim Vital. But he has other students. But nevertheless, there's a story that one time one of the students stood up to give over a Dvar Torah, a Chidush. Now, the students of the Arizal, it's not like what we can imagine. Just imagine to learn from the Arizal, what a level is that. Anyways, he started going deep into his thoughts and giving over an unbelievable Torah. And it was so powerful, so amazing, everybody was just shocked. What's going on here? Where is this guy? What is he bringing it from? Anyways, as he's speaking, suddenly they see the face of the Arizal going like shocked. Everybody, ooh, what's going on here? And moments later, they see the Arizal stunned. A few moments later, his face is going even more. They don't understand what's going on. And after a couple of moments, suddenly the face of the Arizal goes serious and frowning, and the Dvar Torah is over. They approach their master and say, what's going on here? I mean, we know what he was saying was unbelievably amazing. But what happened a few moments ago that you were shocked? He says, you know what happened? The Dvar Torah was so amazing, so deep, so pure, that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Gan Eden and he walked into the room to listen to what this student had to say. I was shocked. Wow, Moshe Rabbeinu just walked in. Moments later, Avraham Avinu walked in. Moments later, Yitzchak and Yaakov. And he says, slowly, slowly, David HaMelech, all these huge neshamot, came down from Gan Eden to hear what this student is saying about the Torah. That's why I was so shocked. So they told him, okay, so master, why a few minutes later, suddenly your face became serious and frowning? So he says, at some point, the student got so full of himself. He got so excited that he's giving over such wisdom. He got a little bit of ego kicked in, that the second that the ego kicked in, that I'm so great, all the souls of Moshe and Avram and David and all left. They all got up and left. They couldn't stay in the room when there was a little bit of ego there. So, amen. So, the second that there's a little bit of ego coming in, then the Torah lives with it. So, like I said again, A, you have to choose a very good teacher. I didn't say it's easy to choose one, I'm just saying it's you have to find the emet, who's the one who's giving the truth. Because the ones who are fake, they are 99% close to the truth. It sounds very polished. sounds very good, very precise, very smart. Oh, I know some people, they'll kill you with their tongue for that. And but you just be a little bit sensitive. You hear what's behind the words. What's the agenda there? And then you're not getting Torah. You're getting poisoned. So, and again, maybe one day we'll do a class. How do you really find a good teacher? Because it's not easy to find a good teacher. Because unfortunately, on my path, when I was trying to learn Torah, took me many, many years till I found the emet, the truth. Because a lot out there is just fake. But nevertheless, then of course has to come my part. I can't come to the Torah and expect to receive anything from the Torah if I'm coming as any type of a yeshut, any type of an existence, or I'm a something. I will never receive the Torah. Doesn't matter how good the teacher is. I have to come completely, completely humble. I'm giving over everything. I'm a nothing. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to figure out. Moshe Rabbeinu figured out, I need to receive the Torah, I have to be like Har Sinai. Totally anava and shaflut. Shaflut is I'm a nobody. Give me what you have to give me. So there is an explanation about the neshamot in Gan Eden. Yesterday we spoke about it in the Zohar class. That a neshama can go from a Gan Eden tachton to Gan Eden elyon, from one level to another level. But it says that when a neshama gets an upgrade in Gan Eden, it has to go into a river of fire, into Nahar Dinur, to forget everything. Completely to reset, to reboot the system, then they grow to a higher level. So when a neshama wants to go to a higher level, it has to completely erase everything that it knew before that. Why? So the neshama will be in the level of shaflut. Shaflut is not anava. Anava is to be humble. Shafel is that I make myself completely a nothing, a receiver. Shafel is, you might be able to translate it as to be degraded, but it's to really to bring your level to a lower level so I can receive. I never forget that there was a certain rabbi that I used to love going to his classes when I first became observant. He was throwing gems out of his mouth. And one time I met an individual, told him, you got to go with me to this rabbi's class. He's bemet, unbelievable. Oh, no, my rabbi, this rabbi, who I told him, just come, just be a little bit, don't be such a pot. Just come and say, you might learn something today. The guy came in such of an attitude that he already knows everything, and his rabbi is better, and that rabbi is better, and he didn't receive anything from that class. He didn't come with any, this is shaflut. Just go one step back. You're not that great. The other people, they know a little bit more than you. And come with the approach of, let me see what you have to teach me. David HaMelech says, Mikol Milamda Eskalti, I've learned from everybody. This is a level, it's not called anava, it's called shaflut. So when I want to receive the Torah, I cannot come I already know a lot of Torah. I've been learning already for 3 years. I know so much Torah. No, you know it. You don't know anything. And that's the problem with most people, especially in our generation. They learn a few pages of the Gemara, that's it. They think they know the entire Torah. Now every person learns two weeks of Torah, opens a YouTube channel, suddenly becomes the speaker of the world. They don't know anything. Sometimes people send me questions, but so-and-so said this and that. What? Where did you even bring such a thing? So we got to approach to the Torah with a lot of humbleness, with a lot of humility, and to understand that the Torah, in order for me to receive it, it has to be given to me by somebody. I will only receive it if I'm humble. If I'm not humble, I'm not going to receive nothing. And needless to say, that we mentioned that a couple times a day, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. The learning Torah is equal to doing all the mitzvot together in one shot. And we say about the Torah, ki hi chayenu ve'orech yamenu. Torah is our life, and it's our way of living. So we have to understand that my entire life has to be around the Torah. Even if I have a business. So I'm in the business 3-4 hours, then I go and learn Torah as much as I can. Every few moments that I have is about learning Torah. Because really, that's what is enlivening our neshama. So, but it has to be done in the right approach. I know many people that they sit and learn Torah for 12 hours, nothing comes in. Why? Because there's an agenda here. There's some type of an agenda behind it. It's not learning the Torah for the sake of the Torah. And needless to say that the highest midah of all the midot, especially now in Sfirat HaOmer, that we're refining ourselves, there's no greater midah than midat ha'anava, as being humble. And this is the highest of all the midot. We explained already a couple times in the structure of the midot that on the positive side of the midot, the highest of all midot will be midat ha'anava, the midah of being humble, and the highest of all the worst will be midat ha'geava, of being arrogance, of pride. And this is the highest of all on the negative side. So needless to say, that's what we want to take from that. The Torah is coming to teach me, just be humble. The same place, the same letter of the Rigeret HaRamban, he says, Hashpel tatzmecha v'inasecha ha'makom. Make yourself humble. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to raise you to a level that you can't even fathom, that you can't even reach it. If you think by yourself you can reach somewhere, then you have a mistake. You're only going to reach a low level. If you're saying, I will humble myself, whatever Hashem wants to do with me, let Him do. I think Moshe Rabbeinu was planning to become the Redeemer and the leader of the nation. No, he just says, let me be humble in front of Hashem. Hashem wants me to be the Redeemer. I think Moshe wanted the job. He didn't apply for the job. He actually didn't want the job. So you have to learn that you want to reach to your potential. You don't have to do much. You just have to humble yourself.